You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Simone Rios, in for Tiziana Deering. A quick warning, this segment will discuss sexual violence. Now, the story of an alleged serial rapist who Boston police waited years to charge despite mounting evidence against him. New reporting from WBUR's Walt Wuthman explores why a Boston man named Alvin Campbell was able to stay out of jail despite his DNA appearing in multiple rape kits over a four-year period. Walt is with us in Studio 2. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hey, Simone.
So, Walt, just introduce us to who Alvin Campbell is.
So Alvin Campbell is a former Uber driver who's now charged with raping eight women and attempting to rape a ninth. Notably, he's also the brother of Massachusetts Attorney General Andrea Campbell.
Okay. Andrea Campbell was not the Attorney General when these alleged rapes happened, right? She was on the city council.
That's right. She was a city councilor who later became Attorney General after he was arrested in 2020.
Okay, so let's establish a bit more of a timeline, Walt. Could you walk us through when the first allegations came down and what happened in the subsequent years?
Yeah, so this case got a lot of attention in 2020 after he was arrested. You know, he was an Uber driver. He had allegedly picked up this woman outside of a bar in downtown Boston and taken her back to his apartment in Rhode Island where he raped her. During the investigation of that rape and kidnapping case, police found evidence of eight more assaults. So he now is being charged and is awaiting trial in these nine sexual assault cases. What we found, though, is that police had investigated him in 2016, 2017, and 2018. Four different victims had gone to police saying he'd sexually assaulted them. And in all of those cases, police had not arrested him or charged him with a crime.
So he was finally arrested, was it in 2020, arrested and charged?
In 2020 when a fifth victim came forward.
Okay, and now here we are 4 years later almost.
Yeah.
Why is it, he's sitting in jail, why is it taking so long for this to proceed?
Some of it were the delays of COVID in 2020 and 2021. And then another complicating factor is that Campbell keeps firing his court-appointed attorneys. He does not think they're providing him a good defense. So every time an attorney gets dismissed, a new one has to come in and get up to speed in the details of this huge case. And it keeps pushing the court date further and further and further away. But it is now set for December, and we will see if it happens then.
Okay. So, Walt, my biggest question in hearing this story is whether Alvin Campbell got preferential treatment because of who his sister was, a prominent city councilor, obviously, again, now the Attorney General of Massachusetts. I'm sure this question guided your reporting as well.
It's a huge question, and it's one who attorneys and legal analysts I've spoken to throughout this reporting have asked. It's very hard to know, though, because all of these records are kept secret from us under our state privacy law. So we cannot see the police reports and investigations into sexual assault or domestic violence. In the absence of that, I've spoken to people who have prosecuted cases like this before. I spoke to a guy named Samuel Dordulian. He's a former sex crimes prosecutor and deputy district attorney for Los Angeles County. Here's a little bit of what he told me about his perspective of when you are prosecuting a case, you know, where the defendant has a prominent family connection.
Oftentimes you probably will get that phone call. Hey, you know, you do realize who this person is. So you take extra care. You slow it down probably more than you would have otherwise. If it's one of those cases where it's literally, you know, 50-50 on whether you should file, you'll probably hesitate.
So the Suffolk County District Attorney's Office, who's prosecuting the case now, they firmly deny that Andrea Campbell was a factor as a Boston City Councilor or now as AG, either directly or indirectly.
You heard that from them.
Yes. We have also asked AG Campbell herself, and while she did not agree for a sit-down interview, she sent us a lengthy recorded statement, and here's part of that.
I would never interfere with or influence any investigation, especially one involving such serious allegations, and the prosecution underway has my unreserved support.
We also put in public records requests for her city phone and email for any text messages, any correspondence mentioning the words Alvin or brother, and nothing came back at all. So I've seen no direct evidence of influence in this case, but that more indirect question, you know, did individual investigators or officers sort of get scared off or slow walk this, knowing that, you know, the high profile political connection here, that is an open question. And unfortunately, there's just not a very satisfying answer there.
Yeah, and it's a fair question. Another question that I have in trying to assess, you know, the likelihood that Andrea Campbell's position helped her brother in any way. How common is it that people accused of rape by multiple individuals are able to evade prosecution for so long?
It appears more common. It appears common. We have national data showing that 1 in 5 rapes that are reported to police lead to arrest, and just a fraction of those ever lead to a conviction. When you speak to attorneys and victim advocates, you know, they describe how these cases can fall apart on so many places along the path. The sexual evidence collection kit, you know, that process of going to the hospital is incredibly invasive and re-traumatizing. You know, the prospect of going to court and facing someone who harmed you is re-traumatizing in itself. You know, police who are not properly trained in, you know, the techniques of interviewing a survivor can scare off someone from wanting to go further. And then it can be really hard to win these cases because there are often no witnesses to these crimes, and it can be the word of the accused against the word of the alleged perpetrator. And so there are just so many ways these cases can fall apart. And what it looks like horribly in this case is that 4 times these cases fell apart, and it seems that an alleged serial rapist was allowed to keep attacking people.
So 4 times the case fell apart. The 5th time it was successful. And those are the charges that Alvin Campbell is facing now.
He now faces counts involving 9 victims.
9 victims. But it took 5 attempts by law enforcement?
It took 5 reports.
Okay. So another point here, Walt, is that you have a lot of legitimate questions for a lot of people in positions of power, but you've been stonewalled a lot. So, you know, questions I would ask, it would be good to get an interview with Attorney General Campbell. Boston Police might have something to say about this. Also, Mayor Michelle Wu.
It would be good to hear from all of these parties. And it is hard to talk about because this is an ongoing court case and they do not want to, you know, influence anything that could harm their chances of winning a conviction in December or whenever the trial is going to be. But there are really legitimate questions about how the police, both in Boston and in Medford, where one of the cases was, and county prosecutors in Suffolk and Middlesex handled these early cases, really legitimate questions that I think people deserve answers to. So I've reached back out to everyone involved now that the story is out saying, hey, are you able to provide any more detail, any more explanation? The Suffolk and Middlesex DA's office are saying no further comment. The Boston police are saying no further comment. The Massachusetts Executive Office of Public Safety and Security refers me back to the local agencies. The Medford mayor says no comment. The president of the Boston City Council says no comment. We did have Mayor Michelle Wu on Radio Boston Monday. Mm-hmm. And Tiziana Deering was able to engage on some of these questions, but Mayor Wu was hesitant and did not want to speak specifically about how Boston police handled this case. She pointed to the ongoing court proceedings and that state law, you know, which keeps secret all of these reports of sexual assault and domestic violence. Here's a little of what she said.
Ultimately, the law is right now that those documents and that information is shielded from public records.
Wu did indicate, though, that there's a chance some of these records could be made public after the trial.
Okay.
And, so, I'll note mm-hmm. that the mayor... multiple Boston mayors were involved in making public some of the cases against the former president of the Boston Police Union, who was accused of child sexual assault. So there is a precedent here to opening up the record after the fact.
After the trial.
After the court proceedings are concluded.
Right. Okay. So, Walt, I've been talking to you for a while about this story, but I'm curious to open up, to look behind the curtain at some of the reporting. I think we first talked about this last summer, if I remember. So I'm curious if you could share why it takes so long to report a story like this.
In short, it is because of these privacy laws, which are so strict, and they're actually unique to the country. We are the only state that has this blanket confidentiality of reports of sexual assault. and domestic violence. So even though I can see that there were police investigations into Campbell in 2016, in 2017, and in 2018, I can even see that there were DNA hits against a national law enforcement database, I cannot read those reports. So in the absence of that, I've tried to track down many people who were involved in those early cases. That has been helpful. Like, I was able to talk to the longtime manager of the HARP, where multiple victims said they were, you know, targeted by Campbell. And he recalled to me that he doesn't remember any, you know, extensive police investigation back in 2017. And police didn't say, like, hey, you should be on alert for this person, or it seems this sort of stuff is happening at your establishment. I've read through hundreds of pages of motions filed in court, which are public, and they sometimes give a glimpse into these police investigations, which we cannot actually read. And then I've also been able to access affidavits, which are attached to successful applications for search warrants. So these are publicly available documents in court, and they sometimes summarize what is happening in these police investigations, even though we cannot see the raw material.
Yeah. So many reporters here in Boston will complain that Massachusetts is a notoriously hard place to do this kind of reporting. I talked with Todd Wallach, your editor in this story, who knows something about public records law here and across the country. And as you pointed out, in most other states, police and arrest reports are public, even in rape cases. And Todd said that 911 recordings might be available in other states. Search warrants are easier to find in many other states. Here it's supposed to be public, but they're really hard to find. Todd said you checked with 4 different courts and none of them could find the search warrant for Alvin Campbell's phone. It's got to be frustrating going up against all these challenges, Walt.
It is frustrating. There has been some legislative proposals to open up these laws a little bit, but specifically spurred by Todd and Ali Jarmaning, our other colleagues, reporting on how these laws protect abusers of domestic violence. That proposal, though, which was in the state legislature, was sent to study in February, which in Beacon Hill language means that it's dead.
Okay, real quick, Walt Wuthman, what's next in the Alvin Campbell case?
The trial is in December, and we've also created an anonymous form online that anyone involved in this case or who've had similar experiences with the Boston police or other Massachusetts police can reach out to us securely. That's on WBUR.org.
WBUR reporter Walt Wuthman, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.